the nature and rejection of our Lord. Sure, Judas Iscariot is the one that gets most of the blame when we think of the betrayal of our Lord. He's the one that we all can point to, the fallen disciple, the apostle who was less than. But Judas wasn't the only one who shared in the journey to the cross, the journey to Calvary that our Lord endured for all of creation. Because you see, we hear the words of betrayal, but there are other words in our scripture that speak of the separation of the Lord from his people. And the next word we think about is desertion. And perhaps just as powerful, Matthew embraces this rejection of Peter. He says here in verses 31 through 38, as we move on down through chapter 27, or excuse me, 26. Then Jesus said to them, not just Judas, hear me. But then Jesus said to them, you will all become deserters. Because of thee, me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And then, of course, Peter says in verse 33, though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter still maintains. He still is defiant and says, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all of the disciples. Can't we all, in some ways, resonate or sympathize with Peter? He couldn't fathom in his farthest reaches of his mind that he would desert the one that he held so dear to his life. Yes, we, as people of relationships, understand betrayal and the depths of the brokenness that it gives us. But what about desertion? Isn't it equally as painful? Not as aggressive as one who seeks out our enemies to betray us, but desertion is when they leave us just as helpless and hopeless when the world is against us. We counted on them, and they left us hanging. We anticipated, we expected with our hopefulness that they would be there in our time of need and despair, and they were nowhere to be found. They deserted us. Haven't we all felt that pain? To count on someone who we thought we could count on. And when the chips were down, when times got tough, when we needed them the most, they were nowhere to be found. That was the pain our Lord endured for the most intimate fellowship and relationships in his life. Desertion when he needed them most. You know, if we think of that word, deserted, if we remember the journey that Jesus took into the Judean wilderness, some describe that place as a deserted place. A place where no one else is to be found. A place where often in that first century world that if a person wanted not to be found, if they wanted to be lost, they would drift off into the wilderness to escape, to get away from their own struggles and worries and perils of life, to not be found by accusers or attackers. They could run to the wilderness. The deserted place. Oh, but as we all know, that sword swings both ways. Sure, the wilderness, the deserted place, offers us solace and escape, but it also gives us loneliness, emptiness. That's what Jesus found there. During his time of temptation in the wilderness, in the deserted place, he was all alone. And these are the words. These words are the very ones spoken by our Lord to describe what he felt inside by the rejection of his friends' desertion. Much like that wilderness. Emptiness inside, alone, desolation, the depths of despair is what he felt when his friends could not be counted on. This is the journey of Palm Sunday. This is the travel that our Lord make down from Bethany, from Bethphage, into the glorious city of David, Jerusalem. And as he traveled there, we hear in his appeal, after he shared in the meal that we'll celebrate this Thursday of Holy Thursday, after he'd broken bread with his disciples, that he gathered himself and his most intimate circle and he went to the garden. And there as he bowed in prayer, he cried out for deliverance. Haven't we been there? Have we all, church and family and friends, found ourselves at the brink of disaster in our life, in our emotional state, attacked by betrayers, rejected by deserters? Have we all bowed down and cried out in the words of Jesus in the garden, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me? And haven't we all, can we get real this morning? Can we be honest with the Lord and ourselves and our life? Haven't we all, like Jesus, in our prayer, say, why, Lord? Why didn't you deliver me? Jesus asks, if it can pass, Lord, let it pass. Haven't we all felt that rejection, not only of the world, but if we're honest, at times wondered if the Lord has passed us by as well? When he didn't let the cup pass, when we had to drink the cup of betrayal, of desertion, of rejection, of pain and loss. And the tears welled up in our eyes, like drops of blood that our Lord knew in the garden. Scripture tells us that he was grieved. He was grieved to the point that he could no longer be consoled. Our scripture tells us that as the disciples were sleeping and resting in the garden, that Jesus found himself awake and distraught. Haven't we all known at some point in our journey sleepless nights? Worries, and anxieties, in peril that seemed larger than we can endure on our own. That was the grief our Lord knew. As Jesus sought deliverance, even at that very depth, he embraced the journey to Calvary. And Scripture tells us that as he was arrested, false accusations abound. Seems like a rather clinical word, doesn't it? False accusation. A nice word to describe that the people lied about him. They drummed up accusations. Stories. They put words into the mouth of our Lord to plot against him and bring forth his crucifixion. We've all been betrayed and deserted and rejected and denied. And even more painful when we find that we're falsely accused and persecuted. But even then, even in the midst of the accusations, Jesus still had hope for deliverance. We've heard the trial, haven't we? Where Pilate stands before the people, and Jesus is on one side and Barabbas is on the other. Jesus still, at the depths of rejection, had a 50-50 chance for deliverance. Do you see his life hanging in the balance? And he must have thought the odds were in his favor. He was going up against a crook, a common thief, a criminal. And just days before, the people had cried out on his behalf, "Hosanna!" They cried out, "This is the Prince of Peace. This is the Lord of life. This is the Savior of the world." And the same people were at the trial and voted against him when the question was asked. Barabbas was chosen. And Jesus endured the cross. Friends, this is the journey to Easter. It's not a pretty sermon. It's not a warm and fuzzy feeling that we hear in the passage of Scripture. But friends, it's the truth of the love and the grace of our God. You see, as we begin this story and this journey this morning on Palm Sunday, we recollected that journey where Jesus started in Bethany. And you know, I've been to that area and I've stood upon that hill of Bethany and Bethphage and looked down into the city of Jerusalem. And as Jesus sat there on that colt that day, if he looked back over his shoulder, you know what he saw? Back over his shoulder away from Jerusalem was that wilderness of Judea. Remember the wilderness? The place where Jesus could have escaped? The place where people in that culture went to get away, where they ran from their problems, where they could find a deserted place away from their accusers and the accusation and those who sought their destruction. As Jesus stood upon that mountain that day, he knew what waited for him in Jerusalem. He knew the desertion to come. He knew the betrayal that awaited. He understood the accusations and the pain and the peril he would face if he rolled that colt into Calvary. But rather than escape the wilderness, he embraced the cross for you and me and all of creation. So friends of the faith, celebrate this day and forever the journey to Calvary. Amen.